Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of October, recording at 7:53 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Well, it's all go in stock markets. We had strong markets in Asia. The exception that I've seen is Japan down a little bit, and also Thailand was down on concerns over the King's health. European stock markets were very strong, a number of gains in the order of 2-2.5%. And Wall Street's pretty steady as I speak, with the Dow up over 100 points, and it did touch the 10,000 milestone for the first time in must be over a year. Currently 20 points below that. Brazil, very strong in here, up 2.39%. Resources markets have been surging. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, they've slipped in here today, so we get some fairly sharpish declines. More on that in a moment. Things are changing so fast in some of these markets that we have to pay attention. I certainly want to pay attention, monitor price action very, very closely here. The dollar is weak again today. It's been seesawing a little bit, but the euro, for instance, is back up over 149, and the U.S. dollar index is currently at 75.55. Now, precious metals, they've been kind of backing and filling in here on the day. Currently, we're seeing very small gain, up 1 cent on silver at the moment, and $4 on platinum. Gold, though, as I speak, is down 360 back to nearly 1,061. Okay, what else? Crude oil. This is a strong performer here again today. I think this must be the fifth day in a row, and I think we've seen a new recovery high for the NYMEX contract. It's close, but I think it did see a new recovery high at 75.40. And what else to mention? Industrial metals. They took a hit yesterday, but are firmer in here again today. Okay, so what's going on here as far as the big picture is concerned? Well, in stock markets, I think even the bulls are a bit bemused, and that would apply to me. I've been pretty much bullish ever since the climactic activity this time a year ago, as some of you will recall, and feeling that that climactic activity marked the the beginning of the end, at least, of the bear market. And the beginning of the end of the bear market is the beginning of the base building process for the new bull market. But this has been an absolutely stunning rally, and the better it does, the more people come out and say, well, they think it's gone too far. They're not sure the fundamentals will live up to it. They say, well, we've seen all the short covering. We've seen the snap back from discounting a potential depression, or a feared depression, I should say. And they're saying, well, where's the beef in terms of corporate earnings, or will it be there? The markets are awfully optimistic. And of course, they just keep going up. Now, my take on this is that first, as I've said before, that in a bull market, most of the surprises are on the upside. And, of course, in a bear market, most of the surprises are on the downside. And the key factor here driving these markets is monetary policy. And monetary policy trumps everything else most of the time. Not all of the time, but certainly most of the time. And we have seen the most extraordinary increase in liquidity. And we've seen the most stimulative monetary policies in my lifetime, for sure. And therefore, I don't think we should be too shocked at the moves that we've seen in stock markets. Another factor is the $3.5 trillion, at least that was the latest figure I saw, that was sitting in money market funds in the United States. So there's plenty of fuel still around to push these markets higher. And investors have been much heavier buyers of corporate bonds than they have equities generally, at least in the U.S. So there's room for some possible switching there as animal spirits pick up. And then a lot of people have been saying, well, monetary policy is going to stay on hold for quite some time, so therefore that will continue to push stock markets upwards well into next year, so we might as well buy now. Well, they brought the buying forward, and if there's a risk in here, and there's always a risk, there are always risks, it is that people are going to fast forward in the stock market the potential that they see for a chunk of next year. And that will set us up for a correction at some point. But this is tough to time, isn't it? And I, for one, want to enjoy the ride, and very much intend to. So technically, I think to see trouble, and the trouble that we will next experience, I don't think will be the end of the bull market by any means, but I think it will be the beginning of a correction at some point. That's not something I'm going to try to sell in anticipation of, as I've already mentioned. But we would see evidence of it in the form of some sharp downward dynamics. You know, we would get some key day reversals to check these very, very strong rallies that we are seeing. Most important of all, we would get breaks in the progression of higher reaction lows. Now, I'm not hedging my views in here. I'm saying this market is still bullish. It keeps reconfirming on the upside. Everything that we have seen really this year is totally consistent with bull market activity, in my view. You might say, well, how could that be if Wall Street didn't bottom until March? But the lead markets, the resources markets, the fuller money themes, which from emerging Asia to the resources, were all in uptrends when Wall Street was hitting its lows, particularly China. China was very clearly in an uptrend back last March. So everything is reconfirmed on the bull side. But what I am saying is that we can't have a significant pullback, let alone a market correction, without first seeing some technical deterioration. And when that does happen, and I don't know when it will happen, but when it does happen, we will see some key day reversals in these markets that are surging on the upside, and we will see more choppy activity, and we will see breaks in the progressions of higher reaction lows that have delineated the uptrends that we've seen to date. Now, when that does happen, again, just to repeat this point one more time, I think the downside risk will be limited to some mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving average, similar to what we saw in China last month. It started in August and carried on into last month. And interestingly, in the case of China, it was really liquidity in terms of new issues that was the big difference. And in these other stock markets around the world, the stronger they are in the short term, the more that will tempt companies to go to the markets to raise capital with not only new flotations, but also secondary public offerings. And there are a lot of banks that would like to do that in the West if their share prices are strong enough. They haven't been quite strong enough. But again, the S&P Banks Index, that S&P 500 Banks Index, that hit a new recovery high here today. It's lagging well behind bank indices in the stronger stock market countries, India, China, Australia. But nevertheless, it has reaffirmed the overall upward trend that we that we see there. So it's pretty well all go still for these stock markets. Now, what about the government bonds? I said things are changing so fast in here, we do have to watch the price action fairly carefully. Bonds had been very steady. Last week, bond prices were still edging higher. They have been mostly ranging for several months, but they had just started to push up out of those ranges last week and maybe a little bit the week before. Well, they've fallen back down into those ranges. And for instance, the U.S. 30-year bond is down 1.20 seconds. So that's a fairly sharp drop in here today, but it's a drop back into the range of the last few months. So it's nothing hugely significant technically, but it is a little upside failure in terms of the price action. So in other words, if we look at the flip side, the long-dated government bond yields are no longer declining. They've edged upwards quite strongly here today, and they've been edging upwards in the last few days. If that were to gain traction, if we were to see a sharp upward move, taking out the if we were to see it take out the highs that we've seen in the last 3-4 months for long-dated government bond yields, that would raise an eyebrow or two over here for sure, and no doubt elsewhere. That hasn't happened yet, but we do want to watch for that. Why might that happen? Well, commodity strength, for one thing, because everybody's been talking about deflation, deflation, deflation. Well, we get deflation in the prices of manufactured goods. We get deflation in the level of wages. We get deflation in clothing that you might or might not need to actually buy. But the bills that you pay pretty much on a monthly basis, energy, that's moving up. Food, that's moving up. Government services, that's probably moving up depending on what country you're in. It's certainly moving up here in the UK. Taxation, that's moving upwards in the UK as well, and some other countries. So what we have is some deflation in the things that we don't necessarily need more of, or not very often, and we're getting inflation in the necessities that we need on pretty well a daily basis. I have also said, I've said it pretty much all year, that we already knew where the biggest pockets of inflation would be. And it's not at all unusual for fire and ice to occur simultaneously. So you'll have pockets of deflation while you also have pockets of inflation. But I've said that some of the biggest areas where we would see inflation would be in asset prices, and mainly stock markets and commodity markets. And we are seeing that, not to the point of bubbles, I would add very quickly, but are these bubbles in the making that may well develop over the next year or so? I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. But as I want to repeat the point that today, I don't think we're looking at bubbles. We're just looking at good, strong stock markets. And we're looking at a good, strong recovery in the prices of a number of commodities. But we're not yet in bubble territory. But that will change at some point. And it won't just be gold. I do expect gold to move higher. I think gold is on course to repeat that remarkable sequence of the 18-month consolidations ending in upward breakouts in September 2004, next in September 2007, and of course we've seen it again in September 2009, and that on the two previous occasions was followed by runs on the upside for 4 to 6 months for the price of gold, and with gains in the order of $300 to the upside. That would take gold, as I mentioned yesterday, it would take gold up to $1,300. And I think that's well within the scope of this particular move. And that would obviously, or some people would obviously interpret that as a sign of inflation. It might not be. I think that the main buying that's taking place in gold is because people just don't trust the fiat currencies. They don't trust anybody's fiat currency. So Americans have no reason to trust the dollar when the Fed is pumping like mad. The Chinese don't have all that much confidence in trusting the renminbi when we see the currency pegged to the U.S. dollar. Sterling has certainly been one of the weakest currencies in the world. And even in strong currency, or relatively stronger currency zones, we know that there has been quantitative easing and a lot of printing taking place there as well. And we also know, historians, market historians, know the long, sad history of fiat currencies. So I think the buying that we're seeing here, and it's certainly not the Diwali, the Indian New Year, it's certainly not in anticipation of the Indian wedding season, it's not in anticipation of jewelry demand pre-Christmas in the West. In fact, from India and from the United States, parts of Europe, the stories I see indicate that scrap is increasing, that people who are pressed for cash are turning in granny's jewelry or their own jewelry and contributing to the supply of precious metals. But that minor headwind so far is being more than offset by investment demand, that more and more people are recognizing that gold is hard money. And that's the big driver that is behind this move, in my opinion. So look for the inflation pressures ultimately emerging in commodity prices and also in stock market prices. And the commodity, though, that is potentially the most dangerous for the global economy, as far as appreciation is concerned, is, of course, crude oil. It's far more important than all the other currencies, I beg your pardon, than all the other commodities, all the other industrial commodities, certainly. And we are really poised for a breakout of this trading range. I mean, if you go back to June, when the last good rally in the crude oil price peaked, and what happened? It dropped down to a very low level, into the below $40 a barrel, and then pretty well doubled from that level during the course of this year. Now, subsequently, since June, we've seen crude oil in a trading range of about $15. It spent most of its time in the higher part of that range, and this looks like a big, lengthy, first a correction, then additional consolidation prior to another upward break. And it looks to me like that upward break is imminent, and to offset that potential, we would have to see the same thing that I mentioned for stock markets. We would have to see some clear downward dynamics, such as some downside key reversals we have seen from the upper side of this crude oil range over the last few months. I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see crude oil surge on the upside. That may well cause some stock market jitters, and the oil sector excepted. So, again, I want to pay very close attention to what's happening in these markets, because some of them are moving very, very rapidly in here. That's creating real opportunities for us, far more opportunities than risks. If you're interested in Fuller Money themes, And I do own crude oil. And if it does surge upwards, I will happily increase supply to a small extent by taking the profit and selling my crude oil. I do have reservations about staying long in that market and seeing the price move up to a level where it's causing economic problems. There are enough things to buy. There are enough other interesting situations to participate in without contributing to dangerously expensive prices in crude oil, such as we saw last year. But I digress. At the moment, most of these commodities are firm. I bought a little bit more nickel in here today when the LME price pulled back close to the $18,000 level. I think these industrial metals are consolidating as well prior to another move on the upside. And what about the dollar? Well, it's still weak. It's not weak enough to cause intervention, I believe, but we will probably see some intervention in the next few months, just as we saw, I maintain, July of 2008. Meanwhile, I think that's a wrap for today, so I'll just say all the very best to all of you.